InvestTalk will begin in just a moment, made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And each month, Steve meets with a limited number of our listeners to review their retirement portfolios. Here's someone who offers some reflections on the process. Can I ask you, how did you think of your own portfolio at that point?
I would say my portfolio was a mess. It was more like a collection of leftovers. All I know is that it wasn't really growing, and I didn't know where to begin to fix it.
You can meet with Steve from anywhere in the USA via Skype or telephone. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then portfolio review. End of commercial, and now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is December 6, 2016, rapidly running out of the year. And this show is about above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk can be a sounding board, if you want, for your ideas. We also try to bring some ideas of our own, and we always go over some principles, how to invest, how to make good, sound decisions. Today, a great rotation. Could it push stocks higher? Do you know what I'm talking about? After recent events, investors are wondering whether the bond rally is really over. And there are signs, but there is no certainty. And that's going to be one of our main talking points today. Our wealth webinar, what else do I want to talk about? Well, I got a number of things we're going to discuss. Hopefully, we'll get to that in a minute. But our wealth webinar is coming up tomorrow night, everybody. I hope you can join us. One of the items we're going to talk in some depth about is making the transition, slowly rotating from growth stocks to value stocks. I'm hoping you've been doing that this last year. Growth stocks are becoming more overpriced, while value stocks tend to trade at lower prices relative to the fundamentals of the company. So there's going to be a rotation. We've already seen it. It's already started this year. Now it's a question, how long will it last? So we're going to talk about that in depth in the webinar tomorrow. In addition to trading at lower valuations, value stocks tend to return more cash to the shareholders in the form of dividends. Did you know that? Value do. Not growth. Growth is supposed to, they're supposed to reinvest all those earnings into the company to keep growing. So we're going to get into a lot of these details. So we'll show you how to even find value stocks, what to look for. A lot of people not understanding how to find them. What is it that characterizes value stocks versus growth stocks? And you got to be careful for what's called a value trap. That's a value stock that is not really a value stock because the company's going out of business. We're going to try to teach some of these things. Now, so you can join us at 6:30 tomorrow Pacific time. It's free, but you do need to register. You have to register. And it's free, and it's easy, it's simple, but you have to do it. You can do that right now if you go to investtalk.com. Now let's open the discussion to include you. We want to talk to you. As always, we're up for any money questions. Let's begin with the Q&A portion of the program. Let's go to live. Remember, our number is 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask about Korea Power, and I was actually thinking about picking some up because of the dividend right around like 1870s or 1880s in that area.
Okay, let's look at Korean Power, everybody. Korean Power is KEP is the symbol, KEP. I'm pulling it up on my various pieces of software. South Korean company engaged in the transmission distribution of majority of the electricity in South Korea. Big company, big one company. Most recent quarter, they finally had some growth, about 11% growth, even though earnings went down a little bit. Still, the sales growth increased recently. They're going to make, this is one of the reasons why they got hit. They made $8.87 in 2015, but this year they're going to make $5.01, and next year $4.78. So they took a big hit, so the stock took a hit, went from 28 down to, what is it, around 19 now. Now you're looking at it, and this would be pretty much what you would define as a value play, Art. Value stock. Because you're looking at a $19 stock, and it's going to make $4.78. Yes, it's less than $5 this year, $4.78 next year, but is the South Korean power company going to go out of business? No. Right? You know it's not.
Right.
You know they're going to be around. So they have a five-year P.E. range of 2 to 128, and the P.E. range right now is 3. What is it going to be at $4.78 on a $19 stock? Maybe 4?
Yeah.
So it's a value play. The only thing I don't like about it, Art, is they don't pay a dividend. You know, it's a $24 billion company, utility company, and doesn't pay a dividend. That's surprising. But it is a value play. And this looks like the price right around this area is where you want to buy it. And you just be patient.
Yeah, because actually, I was, like I said, looking at it in the upper 18s or so.
Yep.
1875.
Yeah. This is a good place because a few years ago, this is about where it went down, then started going up back, crawl back up. And for several years, it crawled back up to $28, and now it's back down to where it was. So,
right.
Yeah, I think it's a good long-term value play. Art, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
A great rotation. Great rotation. What are we talking about? Could the great rotation push stocks higher? Now, after recent events, investors are wondering whether the bond rally is really over. We have 30-year bond rally, 30-plus years of a bond rally. Is it really over? Now, we've been talking about it for several years, and I've been wrong about it being the end of the low PE, low bond valuations because the Fed hasn't raised rates like they said they were going to, but they didn't. So that's going to be one of our main talking points today. Also, have you seen the restaurant traffic report? There's reports always come out about restaurants and how they're doing. I think we need to talk about that because it's the first decline in 5 years. Does it mean anything? Think about that for a minute. Why would it mean anything for I'm talking about, does it mean anything for the economy? And tricks retailers use to make you spend more money. You probably know a lot of the tricks, but I'm going to go over some more that you may not know. Finally, in Asia, the state becomes a major company stakeholder. Talking about Japan and China. How much of the stocks do you think they have bought in the last few years of their companies in their economy? And think about that a little deeper. If they've been buying, what has it done to the prices? Those were the eyes. That's what I want to talk about today. Of course, I'll talk about anything you want to talk about, but, you know, you come first. But I find these things interesting. The market was up. The Dow was up 36. The NASDAQ up 24. The S&P up 8. We've had a pretty decent rally ever since Trump became president. We probably overbought. We had a couple of down days, but nothing significant. So at some point, we'll probably have a little bit better correction, but no one knows when. I don't. I wish I did. If I had that crystal ball, I'll tell you. So those are things what happened today. Anything of interest economically speaking? In other words, was anything I came out on the economy? Well, nothing major, but you've noticed that the economic statistics have been just a bit better in the last couple of weeks. 3 weeks, a little stronger than they were before, stronger, which is good. Now, I set aside time each month to talk with our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolios, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done on Skype or telephone. If you'd like to reserve your hour to look over your documents or talk to me about our programs or what we do, just go to investtalk.com. investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then portfolio review.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Jake from Pennsylvania. I'm calling because I'm wondering if either of you would know a good site, preferably free, that one could go to get earnings forecasts for the upcoming year. I think the information for the past year's earnings is pretty easily identifiable, but I noticed that some of the sites have GAAP earnings and some websites report non-GAAP earnings. And I'm just wondering, a lot of the forecasts that I see seem to be using non-GAAP earnings forecasts. I'm just wondering if there's a place to get something that might be a little bit more reliable using GAAP earnings. Any help you could provide would be appreciated, and I'll be listening on the podcast. Thank you.
When he's talking about GAAP, he's talking about general accounting principles, and all corporations are supposed to report GAAP earnings, but they also have the permission, they have permission to report non-GAAP earnings as long as they make it clear that it's here's the GAAP earnings and here's the non-GAAP. And they've been getting in trouble with the non-GAAP reporting because they're not supposed to give it extra stress or importance, and of course they have been. So the SEC is coming after a number of companies. But he's asking, where can I find those non-GAAP earnings for free on the web? And is it somewhere I can go? Well, I'll tell you this. It's not easy when it's free because people like me buy this information. They buy it. So they don't want to just give it to free. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means that it doesn't exist probably in the quality you're looking for or in the format you would make it easier for you to deduce. But I like certain websites. FinViz, I told you about that one. I also like MarketWatch. I like Yahoo Finance. And I do like Morningstar. So those are good websites that give you the information you probably want, but it's going to be difficult to ferret it out. And everybody reports it differently. It's one of the problems. You know, everybody has their own ideas of estimates. How good are they? It's always a question mark. Always. And they're always wrong. It's a guess. That's it. So that's how it works. Sorry, I wish it was easier. It just isn't. Investment Focus, is the great rotation happening? That means, is money rotating out of a 30-year bond rally we've been having into stocks? And in recent, there's been the reason why this is important is that's because it's a ton of money that could be very supportive of stock prices over the next few years. Now, there are some evidence. According to Bank of America, the week to November 16th saw the biggest equity inflows in 2 years, $28 billion, and the biggest bond outflow in 3.5 years at $18 billion. That's the widest weekly disparity between stock and bond flows ever. So they think that that might be starting. We might be seeing. Why? Because we're starting to see some hints of inflation coming in. We know the Fed wants to raise rates, and if we have more inflation, you know, they want some inflation, but as long as it doesn't get out of control, it's not going to stop them from raising rates. So if you have more inflation, as long as it's within reason, they'll still raise rates. The idea, and they see the economy getting stronger. They see people being more fully employed than they have. And this all brings out a little bit more pressure for the Fed to raise rates. So, of course, they have a meeting in December, and they expect the rate to be increased by then. But they look further out than that. They're looking out to 2017 and saying, when I say they, I'm talking about investors. And professional investors as well as retail investors, they're seeing probably a rate increase or two or three next year. And that means that the bonds, when interest rates go up, underperform. They go down in value. So where's that money going to go when they get out of a bond? This is Invest Talk. Remember, not all stocks and bonds, everybody. Any money questions is on the table. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We call it the listener line.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Eric Foy calling from Utah. I had a question about a stock that I own, Lockheed Martin LMT. I was planning on holding it for a while. I'm up maybe 6 or 7%. Little concerned about President-elect Trump and what he said about the Boeing contract and the reverberations that might have with the defense contractors. So anyway, wonder what you thought, if I should go ahead and just take the small gain that I have and get out, or if you think there's upside to these defense stocks like Lockheed Martin. So anyway, thanks so much. I really enjoy your show. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, well, maybe we should separate short-term versus long-term, and whether what Trump says means anything. I don't think it means hardly anything when it comes to military spending, because he planned on spending a lot of military spending. And the comments he made today about Boeing was on the two jets, or new presidential jets they're building over the next 4 years or so. And he thought that it was ridiculously expensive and wants to cancel the order, because I think the order was like $1.6 billion was the cost that when it was initially made. Now they're saying it's going to cost $4 billion. I'm glad he's doing it. It's ridiculous. $4 billion. Come on. What's wrong with the old ones? Anyways, be that as may, he is going to spend money on military. So that's why a lot of the Lockheed Martin, LMT, and others have rallied. I would worry more about their current valuations. They seem very high. Lockheed Martin manufactures military aircraft, missile satellites, submarine combat systems, and missile defense systems. So they're right in the sweet spot. Earnings and sales have been going up. But this is the problem. The stock has been going up. Now, the stock is at $266 per share, and they're going to make $12.73 next year. Okay, so that's about a 21 PE or so. Well, the five-year range is 9 to 22. So based on next year's earnings, they're going to be really close to their five-year top. Can they still go higher? Of course they can, because earnings are increasing and spending is going to increase. So, yeah, it can. But I have a feeling you're going to see some of this give back a little bit before it takes off. I think it's a very good long-term hold. It's a $78 billion company. They're going to be around a long time. It's just that I'm a little concerned about the valuations. The valuations seem pretty rich to me. So I don't like to chase stocks after they made a big run up, and that's what you would be doing. I would be more in line to take the profit and buy it when it pulls back again. What if it doesn't? What if I'm wrong? Which is a possibility. I just think it's probable that it will pull back somewhat. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. I'd love to talk to you, so give me a call. Let's talk to Robin in Kentucky. How you doing, Robin?
Good. How are you, Steve?
I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Hey, I just got a question about the investing platforms. So recently, I guess, the Robinhood platform has introduced it doesn't charge any fees. Mm-hmm. But what are the risks associated with it? Like, and having no fees, is it a good, reliable tool? We should use it, or...
I see nothing.
What's the views on it?
Okay, I've never heard any bad things about Robinhood. This is, if I remember, a trading platform that we're talking about. They don't charge any fees to buy and sell. Now, don't think that they're not getting money out of you, though, Robin. They do. How they do it, I'm not sure. But they could get the money on the spread. Do you know what I mean about the spread? That is a... Mm-hmm. When they bid and ask for a price, they may be taking a few pennies off of each share you buy on the spread. They could force you, maybe require you to hold a certain amount of cash at all times, and they can make more money on the cash. I don't know, because I haven't really looked into it, but when they talk about not having any trading fees, I'm hoping that all the industry will eventually go there, but don't think they're not going to get money out of you. They're going to get it one way or another. We just got to figure out how they're doing it. I want to know how they're making their money, because you can't do everything for free. It just doesn't work that way. So,
yeah,
but
exactly.
I haven't heard anything bad about it, Robin. I really haven't. I have not. So go ahead and give it a shot.
All right.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate the call. Cool. Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What is on your mind? What do you want to talk about? How about just real quick? We got to go to Mike. Okay, Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was wondering if you can look at Avgo and give me your opinion, please.
What's the symbol?
It's an A Apple B Big.
A V what? Did we lose him? Okay, A V G as in George O. That's Broadcom Limited. AVGO. Is that what you want to talk about? I'm not talking about Broadcom. Okay, Broadcom Limited, it is a $65 billion company. It's huge. Singaporean designer of analog ICSs for telecom, industrial, automotive, and computing markets. It's out of Singapore, as I said. They're growing very fast still. 100% sales growth the last two quarters. That's very impressive for a $65 billion company. They're going to make $11.25 this year, $13.43 next year. That means the stock is around 14 PE. Not a bad price for something that's that big. We're open to your money questions and comments, 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
We'll continue with our podcast. Steve and Justin encourage you to join our Invest Talk Insider program. This is a source of information in many handy forms, easy-to-read info sheets, recorded webinars, and even chart lessons. Everything is free. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. You're listening to Invest Talk for Tuesday, December 6th. Being young gives you the privilege to craft a careful criteria when investing, one that you will perfect over time. Myths that keep millennials from investing. That's one of our talking points next time. 888-99-CHART is how to get your talking point to us right now.
888-992-4278. Okay, restaurant traffic has declined for the first time in 5 years. It fell 1% in Q3. Third quarter of this year, it fell 1%. For 5 years in a row, every quarter has gone up 1%. And so it's gone up consistently, okay, for 5 years. Now it's not. Why? See, one of the things that I kind of watch restaurant traffic. I kind of watch what happens there because I want to see if the consumer is spending. I'm looking for spending by the consumer. Okay, and that's one way you can watch. You can watch retail sales, food, entertainment. What are they spending? And that would kind of tell you if they're going to support the economy or they're starting to worry about the economy. So I kind of want to know a little bit more. And what this is, it has nothing to do with the economy. It has everything to do with costs. The costs are going out to restaurants versus the cost of dining home. And food prices have fallen sharply, so the cost of dining home has fallen a lot more than the gap between eating at home is a lot higher than it used to be than eating at restaurants. Restaurants have been increasing their cost. Groceries are down 2.4% year over year. Restaurants aren't down. Cost of eating out is increasing. So it's just a matter of people changing their habits, and it might have something to do with people wanting to eat healthier, and they're thinking they'll fix the food at home and they can eat healthier at home, that kind of thinking. But it doesn't look like it has anything to do with the economy, which means we don't have to worry about that part or that something bad was happening. I do have an email question that came in from Frank. You do not recommend market orders, so where do you place limit orders when buying or selling stocks? Do you use a percentage of the last day closing or the market price current? Well, what we do is we use 1- and 5-minute charts. If we want to buy a stock or sell a stock during the day, we look at very short-term charts and look for and we don't do any trade in the first hour, maybe two. And we try to get a pattern of what's happening and up and down of a stock. And we try to buy, if we're going to buy it, we want to buy it on the dips. If we want to sell it, we want to sell it on the peaks. That's how we do it. It might be more difficult for you, but you have to use your own method. Remember, we don't like to put in a market order. What does that mean? That means you go and say, I want to buy this stock at whatever price it is right now. That's a market order. And, of course, you're going to get what we call a bad fill. They're going to give you the highest price of it right now. Someone else is going to make the few pennies that So we'd like you to put in a limit order, which means I want to buy this stock at $22.86, a specific number. Okay, and that's what you buy or sell the stock at. I just think it's smart. Let's get your voice in on the program for all of your money questions. 888-99-CHARP is our number. You'll hear questions about stocks, 401ks, funding your kids' college education. We're open to any questions, any retirement planning, anything like that. 888-99-CHART or 888-992-4278.
A person's risk tolerance varies with age, income, financial goals, and life situation. So how do you know how much risk you can or should tolerate? The level you can stand to be able to sleep at night? You really need to answer some tough questions, but we can make the process easier and painless with our award-winning risk analysis tool. It's there, ready when you are. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jay in Dublin. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm fine, thank you, Steve. Steve, I had just a general question. On Yahoo Finance, usually they show the enterprise value and the market cap of a company. And I've seen in many cases the enterprise value is much less than the market cap. Does it mean that the company is undervalued? Thank you.
Okay. Not necessarily. You have to look at more. You got to look at all the fundamentals. You can't look at just one piece or a couple of pieces of the fundamentals and say, okay, then this stock is undervalued. That's one of the things we're going to talk about in our webinar tomorrow. How to recognize something that's undervalued, and how you don't just use price to sales, price to earnings. There's other things. For instance, debt could have a huge impact on whether a company is undervalued or overvalued, how much debt they're carrying. So there's a number of indicators. I'm on the show. I use something that's pretty simple. By talking about the 5-year PE range and what is the normal range it should be and what's the normal range of the market, and then I'll talk occasionally about the. But you don't hear me get into really in depth because I can't. Like, what is the what's the margins? What kind of profit margin? Are they shrinking or are they growing? A lot of times you're looking for direction, too, of the fundamentals. Are they doing better or doing worse? We don't get into, a lot of other things like how's the management doing? Is it good management? What is the competition doing for this company? Because I can't do it on the radio. I don't have enough time. So there's too many of those things to really go over the radio. So don't think just because I give you a snapshot of some of the information that's all that you need to know. No, that's not. But it is a good starting point, really is. So Jay, no, you got to do a little bit more work. Sorry. Good try though. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So I was reading the Wall Street Journal today, as I tend to do. I read several newspapers because I like to. And an article struck me in section, I think it was section B. I don't think it was on A. It was on the front page. I don't think so. Might have been. I don't remember. Anyways, Asia, the state becomes major company stockholders. And they're specifically talking about Japan and China. About 30% of all companies in Japan, 30%, are owned by Japan's three main equity indexes. Now count the central bank as their top 10 shareholders. Let me go over that again. 30% of the main indexes in Japan, 30% is owned by the Central Bank of Japan. They are one of the top 10 shareholders of 30% of all those banks. 6 years ago, they weren't even there. China, It's 39% in China. And that doesn't count everything, because a lot of times the army owns stocks or the military owns something. They're just talking about the central bank in China. It's 39%. Now, why is this important? And this is all relatively new for both Japan and China. Relative meaning in the last, 10 years or so, 5-10 years. They're artificially propping up stock prices. This is the problem. What if they stop? What if they need to sell? What if they want to sell? What if they stop buying? And why are they doing it? Because they don't want the stock prices to fall. Notice how China's stock market has calmed down. Remember a couple years ago how wild it was? Now all of a sudden you don't hear about the big, huge swings in China. Why? Because the Chinese come in when the market goes down too much, they start buying. When it goes up too fast, they start selling. They're controlling the volatility. Japan's doing the same kind of thing. The danger here is that they're buying more and more and more of the company's stocks. The government is. Therefore, it's not a free market society anymore. And don't think it's just China. Japan's just right behind them. So don't think it's just China and you want to think, well, China doesn't know what they're doing, or they've always been manipulating. Well, everybody does. Maybe not here in the United States in the stock prices, but certainly we manipulate interest rates. I mean, there's manipulation. This is why you have to be aware of how these things are being done and why they're being done. Japan and China are trying to reduce volatility, trying to keep the prices high, to keep the wealth going. Can't do that forever. There is a stopping point somewhere. I can't tell you where it is, when it is. No one knows that. But you can't do it forever. You can try, but all you're doing is making it worse and worse and worse when it starts to unravel on you. Don't save your questions, everybody. If you have a question that is about the basics, we're here for you. I love that talk about the basics. Whether you're an experienced investor or beginner, 888-99-CHART.
I work for Chubb Insurance Group, and they offer a deferred compensation plan, which is kind of like a 401k. Money comes out pre-tax. It grows tax-free, and then you can pull it out whenever you want in the future. The only con that I can find is that if the company goes bankrupt, your money is not secure. Creditors can come after it. So I was wondering from that standpoint if you feel like this is a good idea to contribute some money to, as well as your 401k if you're already maxing that out. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The simple answer would be yes, as long as it's a big company. And Chubb, and probably a lot of people never heard of Chubb, but Chubb is a very large company. So the answer would be yes. I like deferred benefits plans. And yeah, there's always that danger that with the company goes under. So you make sure it's a big company that's fairly secure, which Chubb is. If it was a smaller company, not secure, I wouldn't feel so comfortable doing it. I would not. But, even big companies, even big secure companies can have problems. We know that. We saw that in the financial crisis. So, and you're talking about deferred benefits plan. You're talking about many years deferred. So it could be an issue for you. It's on the road. It's hard to know. But I think it's a good way to put away money tax-free over and above your 401k. I do. It's time for Invest Talk 101, a lesson in everyday investing. Let's quiz you. How about a quiz? Okay, being a watchful investor includes observing trends in the economy and industries and the market. But when can the trend lead you astray? Okay, so watching a trend could be very beneficial. Trends in the economy, the stocks, industries. But when can the trend be a problem for you as an investor? What's the answer? Well, when you follow it, when you see something already happening and it's happening and the trend has been in place for a while and then you see it for the first time, you're the last one on board. Remember, institutional managers have been more the one that usually gets in on the trend pretty fast. And remember that every time you buy a stock, someone else is selling. my question to you, as a buyer of a stock that's already run up, who's selling it to you? They're telling you that it's going to go down because else they would hold on to it. You're telling them it's going to go up because that's why you're buying. It's already gone up and you think it's going to go up higher. Now, it could happen. I'm not saying it won't. But I think, you know, you really have to be careful after following a stock that's run up for quite some time. It's usually too late. If you've noticed in your buying that every time you buy, the stock goes down, that means you're trying to catch the trend. You're buying at the top. If you've noticed that, more often than not, that's what happens. Then you have to change the way you think. The stock market is great for catching those people on the wrong side of the market. Really good about that. So don't chase trends. Now, at the same time, there's an old saying the trend is your friend, meaning you should stick with the trend, but don't buy one that's been in place for a while. This is like not buying the stocks that are